This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This second lesson we're going to, and you're going to start the tape, yes. Second lesson we're going to deal with understanding the mentality of winning. First, we dealt with the art of winning. I don't have to review because y'all just heard it. The art of winning. It's when I learn to win, I can win in all areas of my life. Win in my finances, win in my marriage, win in all areas because I learned to think like a winner. And that's what we want to talk about now, this winning, thinking like a winner, this mentality of winning. Once I master it, then everything else around me changed. And this doesn't take long. As I said, I change like that. Come on, let's snap the fingers. Change like that. That's right. You can leave out of here tonight changed. You can leave out of here tonight changed because you too can change like. Oh, y'all didn't do it. Everybody, let's change like. Come on, Austin and Beaumont, let's do it. Change like. That's it. Don't take long. Don't take long. I'm going to be coming. No, you don't need to become. Just be it. Just be it. Be that right now. Just be that right now. All right. Amen. All right. James chapter 1. Understanding the mentality of a winner. This is spiritual stuff now, so world may not understand this. That's okay. We're not talking to them. We're talking to God's folk. Verse 1. Verse 2. Brethren, my brethren, talking to God's people, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Now, that's strange. It's saying when you fall into challenges, hard times, difficulties, you count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, doing what? Wanting nothing. If you want to get to the wanting nothing state, you got to learn how to deal with the state you're in. Amen. And with the state you're in, the Bible says, it's time to count it all joy because of what you know. That is why your being here tonight is so valuable, because you are investing in knowledge. Yes. Amen. Yes. And when you hear God's word, faith is stirred. And the Bible tells me that faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. God will honor my expectation. Amen. See, you being here tonight, you listening to the word of God is feeding your spirit. Now, when we closed the last session out, we talked about believing, the importance of believing, because all things become possible to him that believeth. What's possible for you has nothing to do with the standards and statistics of this world. Did you hear what I said? What is possible for you has nothing to do with the standards and the statistics and the stereotypes of this world. Jesus says, if thou canst believe, and this believing is more than a mental assent. This is being fully persuaded that what he says is true, that he is faithful at promise. If thou canst believe it, then all things are possible to him that believes. So I have to work on my believing more than anything. Amen, amen. I got to work on my believing more than anything, because possibilities for me is defined by what I believe and not by statistics, not by the odds. The odds mean absolutely nothing for us in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what the standards are to get the job. If I can believe, the Bible says it's possible for me. Amen, amen, amen. So, turn from your Bibles now to Romans chapter 12. Let's get to this renewing my mind, because what I want to do, I want you to leave here today understanding how to transform your thinking. Because transformation for success begins with my thinking. It begins with my thinking. Now, we've been trained to magnify difficulties. Well, child, you know, they say I got to have 20% down. I don't know how I'm going to save that much money. You know, they say that they're not promoting nobody around here. And so I guess I'm just stuck in this dead-end job. You know, and you can go on and on. And we're trained that when a difficulty comes up, that's what we focus on. That's what we talk about. Winners don't think like that. Amen, amen. Amen. Yes, I'm not ignorant of the negatives, but I don't focus on the negatives. Because negatives are to be overcome. They are simply temporary setbacks, temporary obstacles on my path. Now, that's the way I see it. So I have a whole lot of negatives around me all the time. Negative things happen. But I choose not to focus on them. It's a matter of me disciplining my mind and my mouth. The Bible says, take no thought saying. So I can see it, but I don't have to say it. And most people feel they sabotage their own success with the words of their mouths. You see something on the news. What did you hear? Interest is going up. They're not going to be making their housing loans soon. So I guess I missed my opportunity to get that house. Because that interest is going to be so high, I ain't going to be able to make the note. And you know, I got a floating mortgage. My interest rate's floating. I might as well look for somewhere else. Because this note going to get so high. And then look at the price of gas. The price of gas is high. My note's hot rising. And food. Did you see how much the food was? The food bill? Now y'all laughing, but that's the way most people live and think. Even y'all here in church. You come here, good faith message, and you kill it when you get to the car. Yeah, I know what Rehab said, but I tell you now, you know, what? I'm a realist. I look at life for what it is. And you're broke. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Y'all know I'm having fun. Yeah. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. Come on, transformed how? By the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove the will of God coming to pass when you get your mind renewed. And I got to start thinking differently, because God rewards my earnest expectation. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. I think you need to see this. He tells me my expectation will not be cut off. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Hallelujah. All right, are you there? Verse 18, it says, for surely, Proverbs 23, verse 18. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. What they're saying is, God says, what you expect is what I'm going to deliver. Amen. Amen, amen. You are living in your expectation right now. So don't fault others if they've expected a whole lot and living in theirs. And you have not raised your expectation because you let the prophecies of doom, the prophets of doom, talk you out of your expectation. The scripture says your expectation will not be cut off. I got to get you to raise your expectation. Amen, amen, amen. Now, so the Bible says that success now is going to start with me renewing my mind. 3 John 2 says, go there quickly, 3 John 2, I think many of y'all know that, but I want you to see it. Beloved, I wish above all things that I may prosper, being healthy, even as thy soul prospers. My soul has 5 components: my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. God created me a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. I'm a spirit being living on the inside of a physical body, and I possess a soul. My soul has 5 components: my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, and my intellect. The new birth did not change my soul. My mind did not get renewed when I got born again. I think like I thought before. That's just the way it is. The new birth, according to John chapter 3, changed my spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So my spirit got born again. My mind did not. So if I thought lack before I got saved, I'm saved, but I still think lack. If I was cheap before I got saved, I'm just a cheap saved Christian. Come on now. I'm just trying to tell you where y'all. So you understand, renewing the mind is not going to happen by somebody laying their hands on your head. If I'm going to win, I've got to understand that I have to start by renewing my mind. Amen. And the scripture, really, when I read the scripture, it really shows me that's an ongoing process. It's not something that just happens once. I come to church once. But it's an ongoing thing. I've got to feed my mind, feed my spirit, the word of God on an ongoing basis. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So it's possible for me to have faith one day, but because I did not continue to hear, that my faith can be weak in days to come. Anybody happy but me? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So, the stamina and strength and faith that I have comes when I consistently feed myself the word of God. So I'll be steadfast in the faith fight. Steadfast in winning to the degree that I hear the word of God. Did you hear what I said? I'll be steadfast to the degree that I hear God's word. Amen. Amen. So there's a reason why I listen to the word of God on an ongoing basis. Amen. 2 hours every day. Amen. Sometimes more. Well, I don't have 2 hours. Oh, yes, you do. When you're driving. When you get up in the morning. Instead of the television on, have the word on. And our generation, I mean, you can almost have the word and look at it too. Somebody on television teach you. Get your Christian channel. Get the dirty channel off your cable. Amen. And listen to what I'm saying. You got to get serious enough about this to do it. Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter, what I tell you? 10. Look with me in verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where how you think before you come to Christ is a stronghold. You thought it was true. You were supposed to be broke. You thought it was true. You weren't supposed to have. You thought it was true. You follow me? That after a while, by and by, you was going to get yours over yonder. You thought that's what it was. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches me I can be successful. And I can be prosperous here and now. Job 36:11. If you obey and serve him, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. So my commitment to the things of God puts me in a position to be blessed. Oh, I love that. Amen. My position, my commitment to the things of God is not going to deplete me. And I watch people say, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to cut back on church so I can't. All wrong. Now you got to live by statistics and standards. Because you have now aborted the supernatural in your life. Amen. All right. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is something I have to do on an ongoing basis. I hear a negative report on television, I'd say out of my mouth, it shall not come nigh me. It'll not affect me in my house. I mean, I know I'm casting down. I took a different thought. Because you take the thoughts by saying. That's what Matthew chapter 6 says. Take no thought saying. I take thoughts when I want to by saying it. So when I see something negative on television, you follow me? I heard that. That went in. Oh, no. That shall not come nigh me. That's not something. I'm casting down that imagination. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God says all my needs ought to be met. So I'm not going to entertain him saying, oh, there come the time, you're not going to be able to buy gas. I'll always be able to buy gas. Always. Have full tank. Here's the point. What is it going to hurt for you to say? See, that's why I always tell people, it don't hurt for you to say it. You've been saying all this other stuff. So what is it going to hurt for you to change what you've been speaking? It ain't going to hurt you a bit. You might as well try it. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. See, if I don't do that, my flesh will begin to dominate my life again. And flesh will take you right back to what you've been delivered from. Amen. You let flesh go unchecked. It'll take you right back to whatever flesh got you out of, whatever the word of God got you out of, the spirit of God got you out of, your flesh will take you right back to it. I'm not limiting it to sin. I'm talking about the whole way of thinking. Yeah. Thinking lack and poverty and all that kind of stuff, not enough. You get out of that word and you're going to start thinking like you used to think. And you will not have the winner's edge like that. In order for you to stay on top, especially in a media-driven age like we're in, you follow me? I have to stay with the word as no substitute, because I've got to renew my mind. I need to think like a winner. I need to think increase all the time. Now, where are you now? 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So the apostles reminded them over and over of things they already knew. Go to chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. They reminded them of things they already knew. He said, wait, he said that before. I'm going to say it again. All right. Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So he says, my mind is stirred, my faith is stirred when I'm called to remember some things I already know. See, there are certain tapes I listen to over and over and over and over and over. Because faith does not come by having heard it. It comes by hearing. Now that is a simple principle that it's hard to get people to understand. I have people who are sick in the hospital, and I ask them, are you listening to the word? No. And I'm going to, come on now, you're not going to have faith to get up out this bed, baby, without the word. You got to. In the middle of your poverty, you have a financial need. You know what you need to be doing now? You need to be listening to tapes on success and prosperity. In the midst of your need, I know we're here. All those tapes are going to be talking about telling me what to give. Where it boils down to this. Do you believe what Jesus says? That give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. And now do you believe that? That's all to it. Bottom line. Do you believe that? Now, of course, we got ready to build this church. We're tested on that because we had serious payrolls. Yet I was going around the country preaching and giving as much as I could. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't do it. I needed a harvest. Needed a harvest, got to give. Bottom line, do you believe it? See, that's what it boils down to. It boils down to, do I believe this enough to stake my life on it? Amen. All right. Okay, so now, go to John chapter 15, because if I'm going to get my mind renewed, that's process. It's process. And it ain't going to just come and happen because I come sit up in church and listen to them people sing. The people sing. They sing real good, praise the Lord. That ain't going to happen because of that, though. It's not going to happen, no. I'm serious. I mean, and then, you know, a lot of y'all listen to songs. A lot of y'all need to cut some of them songs off y'all listen to because they're full of unbelief. You can't be listening to every Christian CD. Everybody don't know the word. Everybody ain't full of faith. Amen. I'm serious. You listen to what you want to listen to. But now if you want to win, I'm just saying, if you're serious about winning, and that's what I'm here tonight talking about, I'm talking about those who are serious about it, then you're going to do some things. You're going to change some things. Amen. And you just start listening. Is that faith? And you'll find a whole lot of stuff these people saying on the song. It sounds emotionally good, but ain't no faith in it, ain't a drop of faith in it. It's almost contrary to the word of God. I listened to that song the other day. The melody was nice, but it was full of unbelief. It was not in agreement with the word of God. Now, I know people say, I think that's a little extreme. That's just a little extreme. You're going extreme. I am extreme. Amen. Extremely blessed. Extremely on top. I am extreme. I am. I understand that what goes into my ears can get down into my spirit. And that's a principle that I protect. I protect what I hear. Amen. Guy asked me one time, is there anything wrong with listening to jazz? You know, I just like to chill. Well, music is amoral, neither good nor bad. Lyrics, many times, addresses music. Of course, some of the intent of the music, of course, does play a fact. But pretty much, music is amoral, neither good nor bad. But I told him, I said, you too broke to listen. Jay. You're too broke. You need to be listening to the word. Ain't got time to chill. All right. Okay. Winners think increase. Winners think increase. Everybody say increase.
Increase.
I gotta think increase. Increase. It's gotta be ingrained in me, increase. I'm supposed to be better next year than I am this year. Increase. Everybody say increase. All right. The Bible says it's God's will for us to increase. All through the scripture. I'm just going to pull out this one passage in John chapter 15, verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth what? More. Come on. More fruit. God wants more fruit. More fruit. My life's supposed to be fruitful, more fruitful than in the coming days than it was in the past days. But in order for that to happen, I have to think increase. Everybody say think increase. All right. Now, as I said, New Light is not for people who don't want to progress. This is for progressive-minded people because we're a church that talk increase. We talk increase. We deal with increase because I believe in increase. I believe you're supposed to increase. I believe if you're not increasing, you ought to look at yourself to find out why you're not increasing. Don't look at God. It ain't his fault. But I need to take a good look at myself and find out now why am I not increasing? What am I doing wrong? Because the word is right. I'm not ever questioning the word, but I ought to question what I've been doing. Amen. All right. Now, so we release our potential increase and experience next level performance to the degree that we will choose to press beyond our comfort zone. So if you're going to be successful, you got to be willing to get out your comfort zone. What you've been comfortable in doing, you got to be willing to go beyond that. He purges us. He purges the branch that bears true fruit because so it brings forth more fruit. Otherwise, you will become stagnant in your thinking. Stagnant means non-productive, satisfied with what I have. You may be satisfied, but he says he wants more. Okay, he can only lay man's order out of that. All right, now, stagnant thinking. Everybody say stagnant thinking. My thinking is stagnant when a lack of money is a reason not to dream big. Ain't no sister, put that down. Put that paper down. Ain't no sister think about that. You ain't got no money. How many heard people talk like that? You might well put that down. You ain't got no money. You can't afford that. Well, I may be broke today, but I don't mean I'll be broke forever. Stagnant thinking. Stagnant thinking occurs when I see my success as somebody else's responsibility. And you got to get out of that because we were conditioned to think it was my employer's responsibility. First it was my mama's responsibility. Then it was the teacher's responsibility. Got it? Then it was my employer's responsibility. Then it's the government. The government. They're supposed to help me. The government. The Bible said the government will make your way prosperous. Did it? It says you'll make your way prosperous. It's your responsibility. Stagnant thinking occurs when I began to despise successful others and not be inspired by their example. It's amazing. I was driving my car. You know, I have a Rolls Royce. Praise the Lord. A Phantom. It's nice. Yeah, I say, I ain't ashamed of my prosperity. I ain't ashamed at all. I mean, hey, I'm like this. If you don't like it, that's your problem. That's your problem. It ain't mine. I got it right. You understand? I paid for it. I got it right. You understand? So anyway, I was driving through. I had let Bridget out at the restaurant. She was going in, and I was going, getting ready to park the car. And so this guy flagged me down. He flagged me down. Oh, bro, man. You are driving the car of my dreams.
Yes, sir.
And I said, I'm enjoying every minute of it. And he said, oh, hey, tell me, man, are you a star? You a star? You famous? What, you rapper? You an athlete? Come on, man. I say, I'm a preacher. Oh, Lord, I wouldn't come to that church. I say, okay, hold up, brother. Now, why are you going to drop on me like that? You ain't seen what my members drive. I said, now, you don't know nothing about me, but I told you I'm a man of God, and you already despise me. If I was a rapper or a drug dealer, it's all right. But here I'm telling you, I'm a man of God who live in the word of God, teaching the word of God, and you gonna jump on me like that? I said, no, I ain't taking that.
Yes, sir.
I got as much ghetto flavor as you have. So, you know, he was startled that I come on him like that. And he said, okay, I know who you are. I'm from New Orleans. He said, I'm from New Orleans, but they told me about you when I got here. I got to get out of my car and shake your hand. You the man. He said, they told me about you. And I meet you, I got to shake your hand. You are the man in town. And I want to thank you, brother, for helping them people from New Orleans that you helped me. So I told him, I said, man, you got to come to my church. You got to come. I want to teach you God, the word of God. I want to teach you that God's got much more for you. Because of the crab mentality, we as people of color, and I'm dealing with people of color now, because I'm not acting like we don't have problems. We have unique problems that are cultural in their basis, in their foundation. We were trained not to like each other. That's the only way the slave master could keep us from uniting and making progress. And unfortunately, that has been handed down from generation to generation. It is an iniquity among us that must be broken. I think it is stagnant when we spend more time making excuses than planning for better. Amen, amen. I think it is stagnant when we misread faith delays and setbacks as failures and refuse to try again. Now, you know, we're behind the Lakewood Project, Lakewood Northeast. What most people don't know, see, we start negotiating at $29 million. And negotiations broke off at 23. At 23, we left the table. But just because we left the table didn't mean that it was over. See, my whole point is, anything I'm in, God, if you don't want me to have it, I don't want it. And if you want me to have it, you got to help me. And if you don't help me, I ain't gonna make it. Amen, amen. But you see, you gotta understand now, just because something didn't work out at one time doesn't mean that it's over. I got turned down 20 times for my dream house. Mortgage companies turned me down 20 times, different mortgage companies, but I never stopped. You got one no, and you all in despair. You all in deep depression. Need to take pills. One no. Okay. Here's what I got to do. Everybody say, I'm going to think. Come on. I'm going to think like a winner. And winners develop comprehensive strategies for success. All right. Now. Winners are different from losers because of their thinking. That's what differentiates. Into what you dress, it's how you think. And if you can think winning, you can win. That's the only thing. Ain't about color. It's about your mind, your thinking. So if I train myself how to think like a winner, and I think winning, I'll win. All right. Number one, here's my strategy for five things. I hope I can get to it. If I don't, we'll get to it in the morning. Number one, I must manage my phobias. I said my phobias. That's my fears. People don't understand that fear is just an attack. And anytime you attempt something larger than you, fear steps in. But fear does not affect you until you become afraid. All right. See, go to Psalms. Go to Psalm 56. That is why God told Joshua, be not afraid. He told Moses, be not afraid. Jehoshaphat, when he was outnumbered, the odds against him, he said, be not afraid. So the minute you get ready to do something bigger than you, The fear factor comes the fear attack comes. Am I going to have enough? Will I be able to pay the note? If I make this career move, will I be able to keep my job? Should I stay where I am? I'm safe here. It is okay to have a fear attack so long as you don't be afraid. Glory to God. I love that boy preaching. I love that boy. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm going to give him an offering too. All right. Look at this. Look at this. Listen. Verse 3. It says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. At times when fear comes, verse 4, in God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. So I have to understand that I self-sabotage when I fear. It's the first element that confronts me whenever I get ready to make a move. That fear that comes, that apprehensions that come. But see, when I'm thinking like a winner, I understand that's normal. That's normal. It's okay. That's normal. Let's think about it. We're taking on we're buying the Lakewood place. $15 million. $15 million. And when I first thought about it, $15 million. I got to believe for $15 million. But here's what I do to manage my fear. I understand that fear is never to be surrendered to, but it is to be overcome. And I overcome fear by letting fear be my counselor to help me better count the cost. I use fear as my man. I avoid focusing on what I fear because that's not going to do anything but magnify what I fear. I don't need to focus on the $15 million. I need to focus on the promise that all my needs are met, that I walk in supernatural abundance. And $15 million ain't nothing for God. I attack my fear with an aggressive plan. All right. This is why I'm not going to fear. It's because I got a plan. Here's the next thing I do with my fear is I choose to meditate on past success and let that drive out my fears. I go back and think about, look what the Lord had done. Amen, amen. When I didn't have a dime and no members, he came through. Amen, amen. Look what the Lord had done. See, I go back. See, I go back on purpose because I got to deal with this fear factor. It is real. I got to go back and deal. I remember when all I could believe for was $60,000 a month. That was our budget. Our budget at one time was $60,000 a month. It took every ounce of faith to believe for $60,000 a month. And now, I think we raised about $23.5 million last year. Brought me from what 60 times 12 is what? Brought me from $720,000 a year to $23.5 million. If he can do that, $15 million ain't no problem. Now what you got to do in your life, you got to look back there and remember when you made minimum wage. And all your faith could produce was minimum wage. But look where the Lord has brought you from. If he can bring you from minimum wage to where you are now, taking you from where you are now to where you want to go, ain't no problem. Everybody say, attack your phobias. Amen, amen. Number two, I have to measure my potential. I have to measure my potential. The measure of one's potential is determined by the willingness to attempt new things and maximize your resources. So potential is the seed that God plants, put in you. The ability to do what you have not done before. You can do more than you're doing right now. But are you willing to attempt new things? New things give birth to your potential. The scripture says, I can do, come on class, all things through who? So that means just because you haven't done it doesn't mean you can't do it. And if somebody else can do it, you can do it. Come on, Claire. Oh, you didn't hear me. If somebody else can do it, then you can do it too. So when I look at my potential is only released when I'm willing to dare to do what I have not done before. Amen, 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 amen. So the absence of experience is not a disqualification for a new venture. Amen, amen. Oh, never done a vocational school before. Don't mean it. Don't mean it. Don't mean it. Never done a vocational school. Don't even know nothing about vocational school. Had to go on the internet to, you know, figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Oh, dear. But you wait till September. Amen. You wait till September. September, we open the vocational school. Amen. Now, what do you have? You have what, president of vocational school? What do you have? What do the people who head the thing up? Vocational school, is it the president? Is it dean or president? Which is the highest one? Because I got to be the highest. What am I looking at? You are looking now at the president of Hillier Vocational Bible School. And I learned to do what presidents do. I'm the president of the credit union, am I? And I'm the president of the credit union. And I'm president. I think I'm president. Huh? No, I'm president. I'm not the president. I'm the chairman of the board. I'm somebody. I know I'm big. I'm the man. I know that. Now, I hope y'all can see what I'm talking about, see? So I might not even put this on television because people say, there you go, bragging. But the point is, just because I've never done it before, just because I don't have the credentials the world says you got to have, doesn't mean I can't do it. When I pull it off, that's my credentials. That's my credentials. When I pull it off, then that's on my resume. Hallelujah. Now, the whole purpose of this, I got to get you to thinking like this. Just because you haven't done it before, so what? I'll use Roberson because I see him right there. Roberson hadn't built a building in his life. Hadn't built a dollhouse. Till he built God's house. Built all his houses. Built or remodeled over 500,000 square feet of property. Never took it in school. Never took it in school. I mean, you got a dream. Go after it. Forget what the world say you got to have. You walk by the drumbeat of another world. Are you understanding me here? Okay. All right. Number three. I have to motivate my partners. Now, here's the point. I'm going to close with this one so I pick it up tomorrow. Everybody say, I have partners. Now, see, here's the thing you don't understand. You don't understand that vision pursuit was never intended to be a solo flight. Vision pursuit was never intended to be an individual pursuit. Vision pursuit, whether it's your vision or somebody else's vision, always includes partners. Go to Habakkuk 2:2, because you have to know who your partners are and you got to motivate your partners to help you. And what most people don't understand is that you got to have a partner. You have partners. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. And it's the unity of your partnerships that cause you to accelerate in success. Glory to God. That boy's preaching tonight. Ain't nobody happy but him, but that's quite all right. He'll shout by himself. Watch this. And the Lord said unto me, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run. That who? So he says, you write your vision, make it plain. Somebody else got to read it too. Glory to God. Somebody else gonna help you with your vision. And you gotta understand that partnership connected. Jesus came on the scene, and the moment he was on the scene, he started recruiting partners. Amen, amen. And you got the mentality that you got to do it all by yourself. And you are ignoring that you got to have partners. Amen, amen, amen. Have you identified your partners? You need a man with gold. That's your banker. You need a man with gifts. Those that are those who have the professional expertise that you need. You need a man who gives, those who will assist you. You need a man with grace, those who will use their influence to help you. And most of all, you need a man of, oh, y'all are so smart. You got to have you a man of God. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, you listen to the man of God and you'll prosper. You got to understand, I am your
man of God.
No, you missed it. I am your
man of God.
No. Let's think of the context. I am your, come on, somebody heard, I heard somebody said, I am your partner. I am partner with you in your success, and you are partner with me in my success. I've got to identify all of my partners, because I got to pray for my partners. My banker is my partner, I pray for him. My financial manager is my partner, I pray for him. My family are my partners, I pray for them. My insurance man is my partner. He's part of my team. I know who my partnership team is.
Amen.
Have you identified your partners? You need to go home tonight and enlist those partners, those people who have to be on your team for you to get where you need to go.
Amen,
amen. Whew, let me close. I had two others, but I'll get to them later. I was going to talk about... I was going to talk about maximize your possibilities and minimize your persecution. Persecutors, but that's all right. We just deal with persecutors real quick. See, persecutors out there, the haters are there. There's always somebody ready to hate on you. Family, they'll hate on you too. Until you make it, then they want to borrow from you. Co-workers, they hate on you. Child, you don't need to be going to school, getting no extra education. For what? What you doing that for? They'll discourage you. Your dream to have a degree. Don't listen to them. Are you listening to me? See, so you don't curtail your dream because of haters. Haters are like barking dogs. You ever seen a dog bark at a car that was driving? Its greatest satisfaction is when the car stops. And then what does the dog do? I decided I would never give a barking dog satisfaction because I will never stop. If you're barking at me, you better get you some throat lozenges. Here's the amazing thing about God. This is why you need a man of God. Because see, God doesn't work like men work. And this is why I'm trying to get you to this point, because the supernatural only kicks in when you're willing to take a bold step. Oh my Lord, you didn't get that. I'm closing. Everybody say closing. Now you close. Yeah. It is the after that God is looking for. It is the after moment where God moves. The Bible says, and as they went, they were healed. He gives you more on your way than he does before you start. Are you listening? Now, years ago, I wanted to publish a book. And I wanted to see my book distributed worldwide. Nobody would talk to me. That's okay. I published my own book. I have news for you today. I got my letter from Nelson Publishers today. Oh my God. Yeah. They made an offer to publish one of my books and distribute it worldwide. He gives you more on your than he does before you. Oh, you listen to me. Now I'll say this much. Once it got out that we were going to do a vocational school, a vocational school called me and say, we would like to partner with you. I ain't gonna tell you who they were or who they are till I get them on paper. He gives you more, come on class, on your way than he does before you start. The problem is you don't want God to work like that. You want God to lay it all out and then you'll take the step. But that's not how he works. It's when Joshua put his foot in the Jordan, after he put his foot in the water, it was then that the water rolled back. Everybody say after. It was when Mary and Martha moved a stone. It was after they moved a stone that Jesus spoke and said, come forth. Everybody say after. See, God is waiting for you to get into that place called after. When we had 23, it was after we obeyed God that the thousands came. I got to understand how God works. He works in the after moment. He's waiting for you to obey him. Because once you obey him, you have stepped over into after. I'm out of time. I'll stop right here. Amen. Amen. Amen.